number 16 through 17, 18, 19, and verse 20. Let us pray this morning. Father, we thank you once again, and blessed be your name. You have been better to us than we have been to ourselves. Father, we lift up those that we love this morning. We thank for those that could be here, but that is not here. We pray that you would strengthen them. Be with them, Lord, in a special way. Lord, we think about those folks over in Colorado this morning, over in Boulder, Colorado, and how that the water, the rain there, Lord, and how that many of them have lost their lives. And Father, there's Christians in that group as well. So, Father, we lift them up to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We lift up Syria to you this morning, Lord. We think about our commanding chief, President Obama. Lord, we do pray that you give him wisdom, Lord. You tell us, Lord, that we are to be concerned about the world affairs, Lord, because as Christians, Lord, you have made us leaders. And so, Father, we pray now, Lord, that we would be of some prayer warriors for those folks, Lord. If we cannot help them, we pray that we would be prayer warriors for them in the name of Jesus. Now, once again, bless this time, Lord. Give us wisdom, give us grace, and give us a good time around your word. In Jesus' name, let every heart say amen.
Amen.
If I had to entitle this message this morning, I would just say God is. God is. That's all I would say. I've noticed that whenever you begin to say something about Jesus, folks want you to be quiet. Especially the media. I've noticed that on the news that when you have folks that when they interview them a lot of times, that if they start lifting up the name of Jesus, they kind of cut you off real quick. Not knowing that there is power in the name of Jesus. They don't realize that there's salvation in the name of Jesus. There is right living in the name of Jesus. You can pray with me this morning if you like.
Amen.
There's healing in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
There's joy in the name of Jesus. There's love in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mark tells us in the Bible that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
In order for the Lord to do on this earth what he want done on this earth, Jesus need to have, or should I say Jesus prefer to have, or Jesus desires to have a witness. He preferred to have someone to speak on his behalf as to what the scriptures is saying about him. Can I get an amen this morning? As my mom and them would say, how many of you know that God don't want no coward soldiers in his army? I heard my grandmama and my mama would say that I got my war clothes on and I'm in the army of the Lord. And I'm not going to turn around. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would fight until I die. I heard my mama say a long time ago, she said, I'm just a pilgrim traveling through a strange land. This place is not my home. I'm a sojourner. See, a lot of us have gotten comfortable with this place down here. We done moved all over in Douglasville, and we done moved up on Camp Creek, and we done moved in Fayetteville. We comfortable with this place, but I'm telling you this morning now, Legacy, this place is not my home.
That's right.
My Bible tells me on that great getting up morning, and you can open your Bibles with me to chapter Matthew 28 and look at me right here real quick, that when Jesus got up that morning, fare you well, and the Bible said that he gave us that great commission. And the Bible tells me that he went and told Mary and Magdalene and the other ladies, he said, go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee.
All right.
And you see, at this time when Jesus got up, we must remember now, Jesus is no longer Mary's little baby.
All right.
Help me somebody. He's no longer a carpenter. He's no longer will be nailing no nails anymore. He won't be riding any donkeys anymore, folks.
All right. All right.
He won't be beaten. He won't be beaten with a cat of nine tails and stripes anymore. He won't take that anymore now. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And the Bible says that in verse 17, 16, he said that, and then the 11 met him. And the Bible said that, and when they saw him, they did what? They worshiped him. Now, let me tell you something this morning, folks. You got to understand this word worship. See, we get this idea that we kind of do a little clapping sometime and we praise the Lord and we hoop and holler. But when those disciples saw him, the Bible said that they prostrated themselves. Hey, now. They got out on their faces. And they bowed to the ground and they said, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation." They knew that they wasn't even worthy to look up on him.
That's right. That's right.
They began to worship him. Because who else is going to die for you and get up from the grave? Praise God. And the Bible said, but some doubted. And even this very morning, some is doubting that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The Jewish people was accustomed to seeing folks die. Amen? But they weren't used to seeing anybody being resurrected. Does that sound familiar to us today? We are used to seeing folks die. We have loved ones dying all around us, but we haven't seen anybody get up yet. Hey now, I heard somebody said that one man was preaching a funeral and he told the folks, for the benefit of you all standing around, that I'm going to call this man to come up out of the grave, out of the casket. And they say he was hollering and hooping and carrying on. So the undertaker told him, said, if you get some of that embalming fluid out of him, he might raise up. They were used to seeing folks die, but they weren't used to seeing anybody being resurrected. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Don't shout yet now. Next time when you run into your Islamic friends, your Muhammad friends, you ask them, say, does your God have all power? Next time that you run into your Hindu friends or your friends that say that they don't believe in Jesus Christ, ask them, do they God have all power?
All right.
Ask the Watchtower Society with Charles Taz Russell, ask them, do they that God have all power?
All right.
See, verse 19, he says, now, go ye therefore and teach. Now, I found something out with that word teach. In the Greek, I found that that word means a learner.
All right. Mm-hmm.
He said, go and make me some learners.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he say, make me some learners, he said, make me some pupils.
All right.
Not only did he say, make me some pupils, he said, make me some scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Not only make me some scholars, but make me some disciples. Amen?
Amen.
He said, I don't want you to make me no Sunday morning onlys.
Come on now.
I don't want you to make me no Easter, Christmas, and Mother Day Christian. He said, I want you to make me some disciples. Amen?
Yes.
He says that, and baptize them of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and making them aware of the revelation of the triune God.
All right.
He said that you need to understand that Jesus is not only God, but he's also God the Father.
Yeah.
Not only is he God the Father, but he's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's all in one. He's wrapped up in one. He's a triune God.
Yeah.
You can't separate those three folks.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that. And then he says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the ends of the earth. Amen. Now let me share something with you real quick. You see, when Jesus allowed me to travel abroad, when Jesus allowed me to travel into Africa, when he allowed me to travel into a place called Nigeria, and we went up into a place called, we landed in a place called Abuja, and we were so happy that God was using us. And what happened that we were so happy until we traveled about 6 or 8 hours into a place called Jos. And when we got up there, we left half of the luggage back into Abuja. So my dear colleague and good friend, Pastor Easley, said, well, we'll send you back to get it. And he put me on a van that really was not too running too well. So as we traveled, we began to break down. And I'm the only little American sitting there. And I'm the first time being in Africa, didn't know where I was at. And thank God for Brother John. He spoke a little English, but he couldn't speak it well. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, Lord, you brought me here to lead me. I said, you brought me out here to die. And they was arguing and didn't understand what they was arguing about. I didn't know. Come to find out, they didn't have any money to get the van fixed. happened, we had turned all of our passports and money into the safe when we got up to Joss up there. But just so happened, the Holy Spirit had told me, said, boy, keep $100 in your little pouch there. And just so happened, I had a little money. Thank God for wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
But I was able to help them to get the van fixed. We was able to pick the luggage up, and we was able to get back. But he didn't leave me, folks.
That's right.
He didn't forsake me. Amen?
Amen.
When I traveled into a place called Kenya, Nairobi, up in the Kuru, in the Rift Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share something with you this morning, folks. Life is bigger than 285.
That's right.
Come on, please.
Right.
Come on.
Lord,
and if you want to see some beauty and splendor, the heavenly class of the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork day by day at utterance. You need to take your trip into Africa, folks.
That's right.
And you would see some of the beauty and the splendor of the Lord.
That's right.
And when we got up there, what beauty that we had. And then on top of that, we were sleeping on a little ground, a little floor there. And we were sleeping, and some things was crawling up through the floor there. And what I would do would throw my bag and my suitcase over there. I was afraid that something was going to crawl up and get me. Lord have mercy. But he protected me, folks.
That's right.
He said he would never what? Leave me, nor what? Forsake me. And he brought me back safely.
Yeah.
When he allowed me to travel into a place called Kingston, Jamaica. And I was thinking we was going to a resort area where I see on the TV that all of the waterfalls and all of the beautiful ladies. And I thinking we was going somewhere. We was going to have a luxury time. But Lord have mercy, we went up to a place called Bad Boys Town or whatever that little place was over there. And Lord have mercy, all of those kids. And there was so many of them. And then we got over there, and the good part about it was we was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from what we was told, the Rastafarians or some of the whoever they was, thugs or hooligans, was planning to rob us. They was planning to take what little gospel, what little possessions we had. But you know what? God protected us. Amen? And he brought us back safely. Lo and behold, he allowed me to travel into a place called Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And God knows the mosquitoes there, I believe they wear tennis shoes. I believe they carry switchblade knives. And I never saw so much rice in my born days. And the goat, it was good, but it started my tumbo to hurt. Lord Jesus. But lo and behold, what I'm trying to get you to understand this morning, Legacy, is that he's protected me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He never left me.
Yes.
He never forsake me.
Yeah.
See, that's why we need to get excited about Jesus, folks.
Yeah. That's right.
See, we need to raise some sand about Jesus.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have any trouble this morning in this house, because there are folks that represent what the power of God can do in one's life.
That's
amen?
Right.
There are folks here that have a testimony of what the power of God can do. God need a witness to speak on his behalf.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of people today in church that does not know some things about God's saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
My Bible tells me that in Ephesians 2:89, for it is by grace that you are saved.
Yeah.
Help me somebody.
Yeah.
Through faith.
Yeah.
And it's not of yourself.
No.
It is a gift of God.
Yeah.
Not of works. Lest any man should boast.
Mm-hmm.
There are folks here today that does not know about God's mercy.
Yeah.
The psalmist says that for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Help me somebody. I'm glad I got a witness here this morning. There are some folks here that don't know about God's long suffering.
All right, all right.
Peter tells us that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering toward us.
Yeah.
Not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance.
Yeah. Yeah.
God is constantly putting up with your mess and my mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help me, somebody.
Yeah.
He's long-suffering.
Long-suffering.
Yes, sir. Long-suffering. I can't even pronounce it, it's so long. Thank you, Jesus. Long-suffering.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You see, the Lord has done great things. You see, the reason why we need to testify is because it just may be some sinners in the house that's wrong.
All right.
Help me, somebody.
Yeah.
You see, we have peoples that are questioning the divine power of the Lord.
Yeah.
They are saying that God is dead. Uh-oh. Well, if he's dead, that means your living is in vain. That means your teaching is in vain.
Yeah.
That means your preaching is in vain.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you another question. If he's dead, I want you to show me where you buried him. That's right. What I want to know.
All right.
I want to see his epitaph. I want to see his headstone. Yeah. If he's dead.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this morning. But as I'm here, God is a long way from being dead. I found out you can't kill God. God won't die. Let me share with you this morning, folks. You see, everything that the Lord has sent you through, everything that he has brought you through, whether he delivered you or not, he didn't have you in mind. Help me, somebody. He didn't have you in mind. He brought you through to be a witness.
All right.
To tell someone else. Amen.
Right.
Whether it was cancer, he didn't have you in mind.
Yeah.
Whether you was on drugs, he didn't have you in mind.
Yeah.
Whether it was a bad marriage, he didn't have you in mind.
Right.
Whether you was locked up in jail, he didn't have you in mind.
Yeah.
Whether you was on the streets living under the bridge, he did not have you in mind, because he did it because he wants you to be a witness for him. Well, then, Jesus wants us to say it again. Well, what can we say, preacher? We can just say that God is. See, we need to be more God conscious in our society. Amen? You see that we are up against a young humanistic crowd of young peoples that we are up against in our society. They need to be reminded that God is. All of the technology that we have in this world today, we need to remind them by phone calls.
Amen?
That God is. We need to remind them by text messages that God is. We need to remind them by emails that God is. And Lord knows on Facebook, help me somebody, we need to remind them that God is. You need to remind them on those billboards that when you set up and you got those pretty pictures of these pastors and co-pastors up there, why don't you put down there that God is? We need to stand in the pulpit on Sunday mornings and tell people that God is.
Yes.
Grandmothers, you need to remind those grandchildren that God is.
Yes.
Grandfathers, you need to remind them that God is. Yes. Sisters, brothers need to tell somebody that God is.
Yes.
You tell me to tell you something, folks. I heard about Jesus when I was a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about Jesus from my first grade teacher. I heard about Jesus from my bus driver. Help me, somebody. I heard about Jesus from grandmama. Help me, somebody. I heard about Jesus from my principal in school. See, you can't keep me quiet about Jesus. See, I have Jesus all over me. I'll talk about Jesus in the morning. I'll talk about Jesus at noonday. I'll talk about Jesus late at night. You can't shut me up from talking about Jesus. You can't quit me.
Amen.
You can't stop me. You see, God is not the God that was, but he the God that is.
Yeah.
God has not passed off of the scene. God is here this very moment. I'm getting ready to take my seat. My Bible tells me in Psalms 46 in verse 1, he says, God is our refuge and our strength and very present help in the time of need. The Bible tells me that in Psalms 84, he says that God is a sun, and he's a shield, and he's a buckler to them that walk upright toward him. No good thing will with you withhold from them that love him. My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is eternal. God existed before, and God exists now. We need to sound the trumpet that our God ring. I said our God ring. Pharaohs comes and pharaohs go, but our God ring. Presidents come and presidents go, but our God ring. Governors come and governors go, but our God ring. Mayors come and mayors go, but our God ring. time I need him, he's always near. He lived, folks.
Yes.
He lived. He walks with me. And he talks with me. Alone, life narrows way. And you ask me how I know he lived. He lived within my heart. See, we must tell dying men and dying women that the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. My Bible tells me in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We must tell dying men and dying women and children that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must tell them, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Mark said that he that believe and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believe is not is damned. Romans says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And once we have confessed and acknowledged Jesus Christ, that God raised his only son from the dead in our lives, that put us in the right relationship with God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
We must say it again. And nothing else matters. I'm so glad that I don't need no human holiness to get to heaven. I don't need to kill no bulls and no goats and no lambs to get to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I don't even have to speak in tongues to get to heaven now. Help me, somebody. I don't have to stand on the street corners and sell bean pies and fried chicken and watch dogs to get to heaven. Help me, somebody. You see, it is by grace that you are saved. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord told me to tell you this morning, Legacy, whatever you're going through, don't give up. Don't despair. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up, because good news is on the way. Can you feel his power this morning, Legacy? Can you feel his love? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning, and I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you speak to the hearts of your peoples this morning. Thank you for your word. We pray that this word have found a lodging place in the hearts of your people. And pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in whatever we do here this morning. We give you praise, and we ask this in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give yourself a hand clap this morning. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.